It's the Daily Talk Show, episode 771.
Peter Shepherd, Tall Gronk, welcome to the show, buddy.
Thanks for having me. Good to be here.
Mate, I love seeing you. I feel like this is a good time. We've got you in because we want you to coach me out of a dark hole.
Oh, no. What's up?
Lost my Instagram and Facebook.
Oh, mate.
You ready?
You want to talk about it?
Our session.
I didn't think you wanted to talk about it.
Was it? So he's coaching me already.
This is good.
He's look, no, I think I want to talk about it, Pete.
Okay. I'm three coffees in today.
So you've fed up with my line of questioning to start with.
No, I feel like I've gone past erratic and now I'm like a little bit useless.
No, that's all right. No, we don't need to coach me out of it. Still got no. I would like to, out of this episode, walk away with a handle.
Oh, okay.
Of a new Instagram account. Handle, yeah. Like that's where your mind starts going.
I actually nearly went completely against Josh Jansen on Instagram.
You always changed.
And was going to change it to be a persona. Oh. So being like the
who would you be?
The creative guy.
Oh no.
That would be taken, surely.
Yeah. Pushback Jansen.
I'm pretty sure I did one that was like really silly where I thought like, you know, fuck it. I'm just gonna do something that's like I love toast.
That's an OG username. What's surely. Like if someone has I love toast, that's a solid username.
What's the thought behind that though? Like what's it for?
Fuck, you're getting coached now. This is annoying. I wanted to be coached.
I think it's got something to do with it was just like, you know, being more like maybe being a persona so you can be a little bit more protected.
Yeah.
You were 2 meter tweeter for a while.
Yeah.
What else were you? You've had a few.
I was 2 meter Peter and then I got told that was too confusing because my Twitter was 2 meter tweeter. So I changed it to 2 meter tweeter. I'm now human Periscope. But I went down the opposite rabbit hole the other day of like, what if I just went to Peter Shepherd?
It's a good point. It's a footwear, isn't it?
But it's not. Like, you got to be like Peter Shepherd.
That's right.
7349.
Leather on Lonsdale.
Spelled differently, though. Spelled differently.
What's your company name? Or your...
Well, it's like the legal trading name is like, you know, Pete Shepherd Consulting Pty Ltd. But the brand
is he's got a
proprietary
limited. I got told that's what you meant to do.
Jeez.
But it's I just go under Human Periscope is not the legal name, but the brand name that I use.
Do you see it as a business?
Yeah.
And sorry, it is a company. It's a business, but the branding. Do you have a personal Instagram account or it's just the business?
It's kind of both meshed into one. I like don't have necessarily clear delineation between a brand account versus a human being. I'm just, it's all just kind of one mess.
JJ's the business. Josh Jansen.
I probably need to be.
Do you like that? I've got the Josh Jansen Productions Trust.
I've got the Tommy Jacket Family Trust.
Here we go.
Yeah, I've got a trust sort of more in the-
Mine's called PJS, which are my initials, but it's spelt PEA. JAYESS. I have no idea. I just thought that would be like funny to do.
When I was a kid, I named my cat, but spelled it MYKAT.
Did you really?
Yeah.
That's obnoxious.
Yeah. And now, so like, my mum and dad look after my cat, but that's her name. Did you have any pets growing up?
Never. Not one. I've
really?
Never owned a pet.
Yeah, a bit of a psychopath.
Your parents in jail? What's going on?
My mum had the story that she told us, which I think is true, is that she was like one of those people that's allergic to all the fur. So, no dogs, no cats.
That's pretty fair. I mean, we had two options. Believe her, take her on Facebook.
Totally. We had two options, goldfish or a horse. And we weren't obviously allowed a horse because we didn't have a big enough property.
Goldfish
That was an option though.
Well, it was like the only kind of fur or hair or this was the story I was told when I was like eight, was a horse would be okay, but like we're not going to get a horse. So, you could have a goldfish.
What about
a
lamb?
My brother and sister had goldfish.
Mm-hmm.
And they lasted about a week. I've never had a pet.
They had a horse. Look at you. Big man. Do you remember hearing it was like a rumor or old wives' tale? Is that how they say? If you smoked horse hair, you could die.
Excuse me?
Yeah,
if you smoked.
Yeah, because it was like we used to roll these like barkies, we used to call them. They were like tan bark or like bark that was rolled up and you'd smoke them. It was just like
silly.
Where's the horse hair come into it though?
Well, it was like if you were gathering stuff and you were
don't get any horse. Don't get any horse.
Horse hair cigarette, general discussion. What is the worst thing to smoke? No. But someone just started spreading that. It's probably a parent. They're like,
yeah,
it's a good rumor.
Could be a bullshit story like your mom if she is actually not allergic.
I have no idea if she's allergic or not to this.
Because it is like you wanting a horse isn't going to happen.
Right.
Like she said, didn't have
a space. I nearly got a lamb. I actually nearly got one.
A lamb?
Really?
Yeah. We were on a quarter acre.
Oh, that's right.
And we we had a lamb at school named Frankie.
Frankie the
and
lamb.
And Frankie would be, what do you call it when they're sort of like not allowed with the other, like a runt?
Free range?
No, like it got rejected.
Oh.
By the parents.
Yeah, loser. Sort of,
anyway, so so we looked after Frankie in the classroom. Wow. Your parents were teachers?
Yeah.
Are they still teaching or no?
They're both retired now, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you go to the school that they taught at?
Not originally, but then my dad, in my last 3 years, my dad came to the school that I was a student at.
Oof,
I still remember he sat me down.
Okay.
Over dinner one night, me, mum, and dad. He's like, "I got to talk to you about something." And I was like, "Oh, God.
The horse?
This is a bit serious. Am I finally getting a horse?
Yeah, this is great."
And he said, "I've been offered a job," because he was driving to Geelong, which is half an hour away.
Yeah.
And he basically asked for my permission. Would you be comfortable? Would you be okay? Do you want to change schools? Do you want me to say no? And I was like, "No, I don't really care. You're welcome to come." He was the assistant principal.
Yeah.
And I didn't really have an issue with it.
My friend's dad was the principal of the school he was at.
Mm.
There is a lot of pressure on the students, like especially if they're not liked.
Yeah.
Like if your dad's a likable guy.
What's his vibe?
Well, he's likable to – he's pretty cruisy, relaxed, likable kind of guy. But the people that – so he was the guy you want to go to if you got in trouble. So if you went to the principal's a bit of a hard ass. You go, "I'll just go to Johnny Shep and have a conversation with him and it'd be fine."
Yeah.
So I got
he's
friends.
He's the cool teacher.
He was kind of the cool teacher.
They called him Johnny Shep.
Yeah,
Johnny Shep. Really?
Johnny Shep.
Well, if you're like, if you're a naughty student, you don't call people Mr. Shepherd or you're like, "Oh, Johnny Shep," like first name.
That's sick.
Okay, I like that.
So Johnny Shep was the guy that you wanted to get sent to because he was always like, "Oh, you're all right."
And so what was his so teachers have specialties and then go into the whole leadership thing?
Yeah, maths and science was his go-to. Yeah.
How were you with maths?
I loved it. Absolutely loved it. I was a bit lucky. I had my mum, who was English and literature and right into that and taught that, and then my dad, who was maths and science. So I feel like I lucked out because I had a resource for both. I used to love maths.
What's their view on the education system at the moment?
Oh, I haven't actually asked them that specific question.
Can you also ask them if the story about allergies is true?
Find out. I'll send them this episode.
With Mom, the horse thing?
If you're listening. Yeah. Please answer.
What about a pony? A pony seems like a good
Shetland
in-between.
Pony?
Miniature pony?
You go past St Kilda and they do pony rides at the moment.
Did you ever get
ponies are different from miniature horses.
Are they?
Yeah. One's like
I didn't know that.
Be careful.
Well, it's like a...
What is a Shetland pony versus a pony?
Isn't a pony a different species? It's like within the horse family.
Have we got 97?
Where's
97?
I am fucking 97.
He's Googling.
Just look it up.
Look how quick I am. The main distinction between ponies and horses is height. A horse is usually considered to be an equine that's at least 14.2 hands. Why are they getting handsy with the horses?
What? Is that how they measure?
Yeah, hands.
That's how they measure the height of a horse in hands.
Or about feet 10 inches tall. A pony, on the other hand.
Wait, feet? How many?
A pony.
How many feet?
Or about 4 feet 10 inches. Sorry, I said 10 inches. A pony, on the other hand, pun totally intended.
This person's editorializing.
Seriously.
Adding gags to their own resources.
Is an equine less than 14.2 hands? Okay, so
it's
horse versus pony. So basically, I'm a pony, you're a horse, Pete.
Okay.
So,
stallion.
I want to know, Pete, did you ever get in trouble in school?
Yeah.
What was the worst trouble you ever got into?
The worst trouble I ever got into, I mean, I was sort of the kid that wouldn't shut up in class quite a bit to the point where I remember it was like grade 3. I was like just the distracted. I was distracting everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And my teacher, Mrs. Metcalf, pulled me aside at the end of class one day and was like, "All right, Pete, we're going to have to sort this out. When you come in tomorrow, I want you to come and see me and we'll fix this. You're distracting everybody." And so I came in the next day and there's this table set up in the corner, bright blue. Every other table was, your standard vanilla kind of boring looking table. And she said, it had a print on it, the magic blue table. And she said, "Pete, this is your table. It's the magic blue table. This is a true story. And you're going to sit on it and it'll mean that you will be quiet, productive, and you'll get better grades." And she told me the whole story and I was like, "I'm in. I'm right into this.
You're magic a bit fucking dumb.
I was really dumb. I was bored into the story. And I sat at the magic blue table for weeks and like just shut up, did my work, got great grades.
How old were you again?
I don't think it was like grade three. I've got a certificate. My mum sent it to me the other day. That's like from Mrs. Metcalf. Thanks for, you know, being cooperative at the magic blue table.
Mm.
Yeah.
Did anyone else get to go on the magic blue table?
No, it was like specific to me because I was that much of a pain in the ass, I think, yeah.
Do you think we were talking the other day, producer Jess was saying that she was more popular in high school, like she sort of went through primary school and then became really cool in high school. What was your experience like?
I don't think I was ever really cool. I was I sort of was on the fringe of, we had the two groups that, you know, they're on the fringe. You got the really cool group. They were like the surfers.
Everyone says this.
Smoking, taking, you know, taking drugs on weekends and drinking and like partying. And they had all the girls. Mm-hmm. And then there was like the second group was kind of my group. And I was the odd one out because I was like, I was a bit of a nerd. I just wanted to do really well and try and get to Melbourne Uni. So I wouldn't
what'd
say
you,
I was
what'd you
cool.
get for an enter score? Do you remember?
I think it was like 92.6 or 92.7 or something.
Sounds not like quite, a radio station.
Wasn't
it?
Quite 97, but it was it was reasonable high, for the dude. School I was at.
Yeah. I got 40 something.
Mate, the blue table paid off.
Magic blue table. Yeah, it went
seriously.
Full circle. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So seriously. I wouldn't say I was a cool kid at all.
Did you wear glasses your whole life? No correlation between the coolness and me bringing up this now.
I could see why you weren't cool, mate, is what I'm hearing.
No. Look at Josh, cool guy.
Yeah, I'm cool.
Cool guy.
Yeah.
You had glasses your whole life?
No, it was like a year 11, I think. I was at the back of the class because, you know, backseat toughy, and then would was that a thing? Backseat toughy? Did I just make that up?
No, I think it's.
I was at the back of the class, and all of a sudden, I just couldn't read what was on the whiteboard. Like it was like a couple of days. I remember specifically.
Wow! So you went from you reckon 20/20 vision
wasn't overnight, but it felt like I just remember the day specifically where I was like, that can't be right.
Mm.
Like it's I was squinting.
Is it part of your brand now? Like getting laser surgery?
Yeah, it doesn't. I kind of like glasses.
I think they look great on you.
What do you think?
It's like
you think
Josh.
I
look right? Yeah.
When I think was Josh the last look time weird you went without to glasses.
The optometrist.
A couple of years, actually. Mm. Yeah, I'm probably overdue.
Turns out you're back. You just does that happen? Does that happen? Like
you could
go so back to
apparently. With the, I never can remember if I'm long or short.
Is it
short side?
Long, close, yes, short correct. Is far away. That's
right.
How I used to remember it.
Yeah. So I'm short.
Why the fuck did they do that?
It's very annoying.
What? Maniac.
It's a bit like fiction and non-fiction. You're like, oh, so non-fiction is the true
it's
one.
A, so what, yeah. Okay, yep, got fiction's it. All made up.
Yeah.
Get do you know how many kilometers away the sun is from the world?
Absolutely no idea.
Have a guess.
700,000 kilometers. It'd have to be more. I don't know.
Double plus some.
Really?
Way more than double.
1.8.
What do you mean?
Million
way more
kilometers.
Than double. It's 152.
Million.
Oh, million. You said 100,000. You've lost your mind. We'd be on fire.
Yeah, well, I don't know. What a ridiculous
you don't
question.
No, that stop. Isn't it funny? He learns a fact, and now he's.
I have no idea.
We would be on fucking fire if
well,
the world.
Yeah, hang on, hang on, but we don't actually know.
Hang on. If we are experiencing global warming, temperatures are going above 50 degrees in some areas, and the moon and the sun is 152 million kilometers away.
It's a long way.
The thing we is, would be burning.
But the thing is, I reckon you. Wouldn't be a good judge of knowing how far 153,000 kilometers versus 153 million. I think million.
Stop projecting because we know your sense of distance is absolutely fucked.
I've actually got a good sense of distance.
No, absolutely.
I used to play golf all the time.
We did a whole piece on this. Remember when you were like talking about Derek's office and how far away your apartment is and then we called Derek and you got it like...
I remember
so,
that. Was like way back
dude,
the old
literally,
days.
This is the exact exchange. You're like, no, I got it. We called him and you were like.
You called him on the episode and he mapped it out for you.
That's true. Yeah,
and
Google
and
Maps,
it was bad. It was bad.
Just
no, it would be very hot. I wouldn't want to live on Earth where it's 700,000 kilometers.
So I was way off, obviously, yeah.
So you actually went surfing. Like you mentioned there was the surfing group.
Mm.
We weren't like coastal.
Surfing.
Like so as in the cool kids, there were surfers.
Mm.
Yeah.
Did you ever skateboard? Were you a skateboarder?
No, that was the cool kid thing to do. I couldn't skate for my life.
You left it to them, did you?
Yeah. It was like an inflection point when you grow up down the coast. It's like you either like choose to start surfing or you like bodyboard. And I was like, oh, I'm going to bodyboard because I can do tricks on a bodyboard and I can't do anything on a surfboard. And like you look back at it now like, what a loser. Yeah. Why couldn't I just surf? Now I was like, I would be as good as you at surfing and I grew up at the coast, assuming that.
You reckon you'd be as good as me?
Well, you might be.
Can you surf?
You'd be better than me.
Well, it's like people that get into lacrosse.
Definitely.
Which like I grew up
if you're a, if you're a
yeah, it's disappointing.
A professional
flat.
If you're a professional lacrosse player,
yeah.
Limited options here in Australia.
Not really transferable as a skill, is it?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's the closest? Hockey, but then you're standing up and throwing. There's a niche lacrosse community in Victoria.
Yeah, I've played a game of when I used to play footy, there was a lacrosse field next door and they'd play while we were playing footy. So there must be a league.
I sort of like the idea of having getting gear. So you get the stick.
The stick.
And I also like the idea
face mask, isn't it? Like a full grill.
Yeah, I like the idea of sort of practicing at home, like going up against a wall and you sort of throw the ball and catch it.
Did you ever play it at school?
Yeah, I did.
We did it at PE. It was hard.
What happened to handball?
Still around.
Different to down ball?
We saw someone doing it.
Oh, European.
Remember handball. We were in Geelong. We saw someone just hitting the wall.
No, that was...
That's down ball.
No. That's two square.
But that would hitting down ball.
But handball is an actual game where it's almost like
European,
soccer.
It's called European handball, I think.
Mm-hmm. Dodgeball.
It's like soccer, but you throw it.
Oh, yeah.
You know that one? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My uncle owns a sports centre and they... They had it as one of the games and dodgeball. Yeah. But how like thinking about school and the the way you're describing is the groups, and then you watch something like American Pie, and you've got the jocks and the.
Yeah.
What I always remember when I come into encounter a young year 10, 11, like fuck, you're a little useless. Like, how important you think you are back then. Mm-hmm. And nothing changes. You get older. You're in your reality. But when you're looking up at a year 12 and you're in year 7, you're like, oh, my God, they're so big.
Yeah.
You get to year 12. Well, you get to now, 30, and look back at year 12, and it's like, you know nothing.
Yeah.
And still now, imagine looking back at 60, like, you knew nothing as a 30.
Yeah. I'd love for you to be a motivational speaker at school.
Yeah.
Listen, all of you, you know nothing.
You know nothing.
No, but do you remember the, even giving it, like, I guess it's the power of the human species where we're already at that age in categories and hierarchies and social status. It's like...
And wanting to be liked, I think, was the big one. The desire to fit in and belong and be liked.
Did you ever do Reach?
What was Reach?
So, Reach, they did it at our school.
They actually did.
Yeah. And so, Jules Lund was part of it. There's a bunch of people.
Paul Curry and Jim Stein started the Reach Foundation. Mm-hmm. And they were, helping young adolescent kids navigate and equip themselves with life skills and emotional intelligence. Mm. And the classic story of Jules Lund, Jim Stein's, who went on to be Jules's mentor comes to see him in school, and Jules, the tall guy up the back, causing a ruckus. Jim, stand up right now.
Calls him out.
Yeah, and makes him just fall apart in front of everybody.
They make the bullies cry and stuff.
What he said was like, you don't realize how powerful you are. And so he like built him up. He's like, look at you and what you're doing. You're uncomfortable. But it's like, what you possess is more than that. And so he saw a lot in Jules. And then Jules was traveling around with him to do all these keynotes.
What a mentor.
And just sort of followed. Let's talk about mentors, because Amy and I were chatting about, she's like, do you have a business mentor? And I was like, fuck, we've got such great people in our world that I don't feel like I need to formalize a mentorship.
When
you've got
a business partner like me.
But thinking about formalizing mentors, and I think there's, what do you think, Pete? Do you think you need to formalize something, or does it just happen?
I guess it's like up to personal preference. I have never formalized a mentorship relationship, but I would say I have mentors. So I guess it's personal preference. Have you said to someone, can you be my mentor?
Or I've said to people, I said to Jules once, you're my mentor. Tell me, shut the fuck up.
That's different to asking, though. Like, can you be my mentor? If you're like, oh, by the way, you're my mentor.
What I found was with the people that end up being my mentors, there has been value that I'm bringing to them, which is why they're, I think, giving me time. Mm-hmm. So, Jules saw a lot in me, but I've done a lot for Jules. And it's like, he's done more for me than I can do for him. And Craig Harper as well, just the time he's given me. But I definitely have been knowing where my value for him is and then being able to deliver that. But then I reap the benefit of a relationship with someone like that.
Yeah.
And so, never needed to formalize anything.
Yeah. Yeah, like I would say, like Seth Godin, 100% is a mentor of mine, but I have never said to him, hey, Seth, by the way, could you be my mentor?
Mm.
I think there's an interesting observation in all of that, which is like your mentors don't even need to know you exist. Like you could say, I would say that
the stalkers say that too.
No, but you know what I mean?
Your
like,
victim doesn't.
The world we live in now, you could surround yourself with like Brené Brown, for example, her books, podcast. I surround myself with her. I would say like, in a way, she's a mentor. She doesn't need to know I exist, but I look to her.
It'd be nice if she did, right?
Wouldn't it be cool? Yeah.
Really good.
I look to her for ideas when I feel like I need them, but I don't say to her, hey, Brené, you're my mentor. I need you to help me with this. So, I think it's cool sort of each end of the spectrum. Sometimes there's mentors that don't know exist, and then maybe there's some conversations that people have where it's like, could we formalize this? Could you be my mentor? But I've never had that conversation.
Mm.
I think they just have formed naturally for me.
And so, do you think it is like, you know, you're not, it's, if it's not said, you're not actually the mentor, like the, you know, but the Brené Brown example, I get it.
Mm.
In the old days, that's just called learning shit from other people. You know what I mean? Like now we're sort of anchoring this, they're my mentor, they're my guider, the guidance.
But what do you think? Do you reckon there's something in the mentor bit or seeking that? Like certainly, I don't think I've really had a mentor as such.
Yeah,
I mean, what's your perspective on my approach to mentorship? Because I don't know if I have.
No, I think we're very similar, you and I, in that respect. Because I think maybe what it becomes is like you do the non-mentor agreement mentors, which you just end up being your friends that you learn from, surround yourself with great people.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's the business that you have, Pete, where the value in having a coach they're showing up with a posture and I'm getting a service from them.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, how do you even see that as a coach? You are a coach, which is essentially someone who could be mentoring people for money.
Yeah. I see the difference in the two. I think a mentor to me is someone who has a certain experience in the thing that you want to do yourself. Mm. And so you say, hey, TJ, I want to start a daily podcast. TJ and Josh, would you guys like mentor me and help me with that? Versus a coach, which has doesn't necessarily need to have the experience that you seek. So, like, I work with a bunch of creatives that are, you know, Broadway artists, for example, and I have no idea about, like, Broadway and performing arts. And that's actually a strength, is all I need to be able to do as a coach is ask questions, hold space, and be curious. Versus a mentor, which is, like, actually need advice. And in order to get advice, I need you to have the lived experience that I don't have. So, I think that's how I think about the distinction.
Yeah, Jules is giving a lot of advice.
Yeah, so, that's a mentor. He's giving you, hey, based on my life, this is what I would do.
But do you think,
as a coach, it's not about advice, I think.
Do you think that the mentor thing, we can fall into it if you're requiring an external force?
I think you can hide in this for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I think that there is a distinction between, like, I feel like I'm a life learner. I love learning stuff, and that can come from a person. That could come from a book. It could come from a podcast. Whereas I think there are some people who fall into the narrative of what it is to have a mentor.
Yeah,
and so they get obsessed with the geography and the sitting down and talking and getting time.
Or the risk of like, I'm not successful because I don't have a mentor. So, like, it's almost a cop-out in a way. It's like, oh, I need to get a mentor. Then I'll put in the work. Mm. And it's like, I think you're hiding in that maybe. Like, do you need to formalize a relationship in order to then have a mentor? I don't think so. Do you need to have a mentor in order to be successful? Probably not. Not necessarily. It's helpful. Can help you learn and grow. But it's not like a requirement. And it's not an alternative to putting in the work.
Mm. What about a coach? What's the view there? Does everybody need a coach?
No, well, I think everyone could benefit from a coach, but not everyone needs a coach. So, for me, a coach is all about holding someone accountable, asking questions, holding space, and as I mentioned, being curious. And so, you can get that formally, which is sort of some of the work I do, or you could get that through, like, I would say JJ and I kind of coach each other when we go on our walks because we ask questions of one another.
He's an advice monster, don't you?
Yeah, I love it. I bring a whiteboard. Yeah.
But it's I am Pete's mentor. Got
him. I want to know what's the difference between, you've done the whole psychology thing, the difference between going to a psychologist and going to a coach?
I think a psychologist is probably, the distinction I've seen is they're perhaps a little bit more on the mentor side in that they're leaning on their, not necessarily their lived experience, but they're leaning on the knowledge that they've attained through qualifications and understanding of how to navigate trauma.
Yeah.
A coach doesn't really necessarily have expertise in how to navigate trauma or personal relationships.
That's extra. You got to pay them extra.
Your psych used a whiteboard.
Yeah. I love it.
Did you get around that?
I was a little skeptical at first. I told JJ, I was like, oh, I'm going to go see a therapist. Everyone keeps telling me I need to do it. And you talked about it, TJ. Yeah, I really appreciated that perspective. And I think Ryan Shelton talked about it. And I was like, all right, I think I'm going to do this. And I went in there and I met her in the reception. I was like, oh, I don't know about this already. And then she opens the door and there's a whiteboard sitting in between the two chairs. And I love a whiteboard. And I just looked at her and went, I think you and I are going to get along just fine.
Yeah. So you think she knew, or is that just her process?
No, that's her process. That's like,
oh, that's good.
That's she didn't Google him and go, I think Pete likes whiteboards.
So while we talk,
did she know anything about you before you started?
Do you think they
Google you?
I guess it's definitely
no way. No way.
No way.
But you do it. Like, you would have signed a form at the start, just what you do, what you're up to, like a induction form.
Yeah.
Wanted to do that.
Google me.
So she has a whiteboard while we're talking.
It's your psychologist saying, now, is everything okay? I noticed you're not on Facebook or Instagram.
Fuck, they would think that.
So I'm curious about this. So what are you actually writing on a whiteboard when you're going to a therapist?
So I'm not writing. She's doing the writing while we're talking, and she's mapping out themes, and like she maps out the people. So she draws a little box with me. You know, that box represents Pete, and then she'll draw a box to represent my family when I start talking about my family, or my girlfriend when I'm talking about my girlfriend, or my ex when I'm talking about my ex. And then she draws like dotted lines between the three or the four, and then like how they all connect and what are the commonalities and the stories you're telling yourself. It's fascinating.
Do you take a photo at the end?
Yeah. I love it.
Is that like a... Do you ask?
You don't have to. I'm just like, hey, do you mind if I take a photo? She's like, of course. Bang, take a photo.
Because you were using... You tried to set up Notion the other day.
Yeah.
How are you going with Notion?
I'm into it. I've moved from a bunch of stuff from Google Docs into Notion. So far, so
you need
good.
To give Biscuit a go.
Oh, okay. Is there another one? You told me to get on Notion.
Notion is great. But TJ taught me about Biscuit, which integrates another Notion.
Can we get this clean? Just because this is me.
This is big for TJ.
A tech piece of advice that JJ's taken on board with no pushback. This is unbelievable.
Now, what, you'd never do it. Like you'd never try. I don't think you've ever, in the in the 3 years that we've worked together, I don't think you've ever said to me like, oh, I was thinking on the way. I don't feel that you bring stuff out, stuff of that you've spoken about.
I mean, the one thing where I knew this guy's can't remember his name, Luke somebody, someone Darcy.
Most complicated air table.
No, maybe. Yeah, but he's called the most connected guy in the world.
Is that his title?
Connected meaning technology. He's the old Google Glass guy. He's got all these fucking whoop, swoop, hoop on his arms and it's all bullshit. But he's a version of Josh could become him. There's still time, but Josh could become him. And I saw him using Biscuit and I was like, mate.
And so how do you explain Biscuit?
Biscuit, so you know when you're in... Chrome or Mozilla or, you know, whatever it be, and you got tabs open or you go bookmarks, like all the things I use in a day. Nightmare, because when you do have 20 tabs open, I've seen Jess, our producer's computer, tab queen. It's basically like an interface that allows you to sort your tabs, but they're on the left-hand side. So, it almost looks like Notion or it looks like a thing where you have on the left side all of the quick buttons that take you to a specific spreadsheet at a specific point. So, I have my finance section. I've got my daily section where shit I want to be in, sales section. You know, and so you get a bunch of that where you're in one spreadsheet, but rather than going back and forth in the sheet at the bottom, on the left-hand side, it's got the tab. So, it's like quick keys, but it's a game changer.
I showed it to Brie last night.
Did you like it?
She said that it seemed like an unnecessary tool. It was just a browser. What would you?
Yeah, but then I think the challenge is the workflow of being the tab queen.
Sounds efficient. I quite like efficiencies. It sounds like it's creating efficiencies.
Well, stuff doesn't stick a lot, like when you find a piece of tech.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this is just like, oh, my God, why the fuck haven't I been using this? Like in a Chrome thing with 30. I was like, I've run out of space for my bookmarks.
So the problem.
I think you should send this to Biscuit, by the way. This is a good, testimonial.
Yeah, they don't even charge. Really? It's ridiculous.
What's
it's
their free. Business model?
That's what I want to know.
They're selling your free? Data?
I hope not. Yeah. I don't know. They literally, you can't even create an account, which means, like, that's one thing issue about is that I can't transition from my computer upstairs where my biscuit is down. So, I mean, I can come down and get a biscuit from the jar, but on my laptop, I need to create my biscuit on the
It's a cute
on my
laptop icon. Too.
It's a biscuit.
It's a biscuit.
Yeah, it's a real. Yeah,
it's a shortbread biscuit cute. Almost. It's a
great name.
But worth looking at.
And so so you were using, what were you putting in Notion?
I've got things like, you know, books I want to read, books I have read. Mm-hmm. I've got, you know, like Airbnbs that I've looked at and want to stay in one day, little adventures that I want to do.
You're getting into all the emojis?
I love the emoji. I'm a big emoji guy. I think you probably already knew that. But
not really.
Oh, okay, so I'm an emoji guy. There you go. There's a Have you got the breaking?
What's your go-to emoji? Can you just pull out your phone and tell me what you...
I've just cut to the... nearly cut to the exclusive.
Can you tell me what your...
I don't know. My phone's out of reach, but I would say my most used would be the joy emoji, which is the guy with the crying eyes.
Yeah.
And the love heart eyes. I quite like the love heart eyes. Yeah. Nice. As an emoji. Yeah. So I'm a big emoji Wouldn't guy. Have picked That's it. What the breaking is.
Wouldn't have picked that.
I feel like I don't get many emojis from you.
Yeah, really? I think so. I adapt based on knowing the other person. And I feel like you're not a big emoji guy. Mm. So I've like dialed it back so I don't offend you.
What's
Josh then? A big dot 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 guy.
Yeah, what am I?
Big passive guy.
He's an exclamation mark guy, and he's a hey homie kind of guy. He loves the word homie.
Hey homie.
He loves the word homie. Yeah. So I observe how other people communicate.
Do you like homie?
Yeah, I don't mind homie. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Babe.
Depending who it's coming from.
All right, babe.
Actually, I'm okay with it. You can call me babe, TJ.
Thanks, babe.
Yeah.
Yeah, babe's good. I mean, is it a brand value, your homie thing, Josh? Or
hey, Pete? Homie with an exclamation mark.
I think I use it a lot. I used to say hombre.
Oh, yeah.
Hombre. You're also a big...
That was big on Taco Tuesday. Hombre.
You're a big FaceTimer. That's probably your brand value, isn't it? Not necessarily an emoji. It's a FaceTime. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm a biscuit guy.
You're a biscuit guy.
No, what's my brand value?
So, the other thing I think send messages, I think, I do multiple messages.
Oh, I do that too. I like that.
So, I would prefer to like get 6 notifications to you quickly.
I reckon you're a long email guy too.
Oh, no.
You know that's not true. It's a big contentious issue in the workplace.
Can I get
emails.
Jess to sit in the hot seat?
Yeah, you can.
I've never let anyone sit in this seat. Jess, can you come on the show?
Yeah, here we go.
So, producer Jess. I'm going to hit the couch.
This is in regards to our
This is good for Pete to coach the situation.
Yeah, I'll just observe.
And Jess is getting TJ's lighting as well. So this is really lucky. Here we go. TJ just wants to relax. He's disengaged his core on the couch.
Core is disengaged.
Good day, Jess.
There she is. Here we go. Jess.
She's putting her headphones on. Here we go. It's about your timing. Hello.
Hey, Jess.
No, the lighting's still not great, is it?
No, it's great. You look great.
It's a little bit better.
So, we're talking about long emails.
Mm. Mm.
I feel like you send long emails.
Is this the first time he's told you this?
No, I said it this morning and you got upset with me potentially.
Would you consider that a blow up on your behalf?
No, that wasn't a blow up. I mean, it's the early day stage. Can you just watch make sure you're centered in the screen?
Would you go a little bit? Jess, did it feel like a blow up for you?
I mean, I felt attacked because...
Attacked is a strong word.
I know, because I have a thing against long emails. And so, it came out of left field, to be honest.
So, my thing is that I was saying... I actually said this to you. I'm like, I've been getting into a bit of evening work.
Yeah, you did.
And one of the things with the evening work is going through Jess's emails. Mm-hmm. Like, when you send me an email, there's a lot of... information to put in. And so what I was sort of saying is it's like, I think that's great client side, giving them heaps of context.
Mm-hmm.
What are the bits that we could cut?
Mm. What's the push? Is it the length of the scrolling you have to do? Is it the thought of a paragraph if it's a wall of text?
Well, it's not knowing what to focus on.
Mm.
But if you like read it, it goes in chronological order. Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like
Is it a formatting thing? Like, is it more just if Jess used dot points?
You don't.
How long is too long?
I'm going to show you my emails after this.
Yeah, how long is too long?
They're pretty long. I think that they...
How long?
So, they're dot points, but each dot point is a paragraph. Would you say that or no?
Okay, it's more than three. I just want to point this out that I've literally probably only sent, what, 5 emails that you've been privy to.
It's been privy to, and what's going on?
Client emails. Like, it's sorting out different things. Like, it's not like I'm going to Tommy or to JJ on a simple menial task in here. It's like, they're proper client emails.
Yeah.
You have to detail this stuff.
Who's it for? Yeah. She's tailoring her message based on who it's for. I think that's smart.
Actually, do you know what would be fun? I'll read you the first email I ever sent to Pete. This was a cold. I was saying I don't do cold emails. Brand value.
This is great. I remember I was in New York and I received this email.
Here we go.
From a stranger called Josh Jansen.
Are you ready? Oh, hang on. I don't have your... it's from Square. It was a Squarespace.
Yeah, you went through my website.
Went through his form. So, this is obnoxious. The form... It's not as simple. Do you remember what you ask on your form?
No, this was
contact form.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would have been an old iteration.
It's a name, email address. What are you currently working on?
Yeah, I'm curious. What are you working on? Is that obnoxious?
I mean, it's slightly being like, only contact me if you're
working
mover
on
and shaker.
Yeah. You know? It's changed since.
Yeah,
right?
Okay, what do you say now? Actually, employment
status. I'm going to go look at it as soon as this is over.
Are you on JobKeeper? So here we go. Josh Jansen, josh@joshjansen.com. What are you currently working on? I haven't read this, so this could be embarrassing. Hey, Peter, I just discovered you. So this was the 18th of May, 2018.
Wow.
Happy, we've had 2 years of friendship.
Yeah, happy two in a bit, yeah.
I just discovered you through Seth's Alt MBA live stream. Awesome seeing a fellow Melburnian doing cool shit. My mate Tommy and I have a podcast, The Daily Talk Show. We're up to episode 89. I see on your About section that you love listening to podcasts and that you're even working on one on your own. Working on your own one. If there's any help you need from a tech or content point of view, please let me know. I have a background in content creation, in radio, technology, and now through my video production company, Full Stack Films.
Pretty long email.
Would love to... I know, and this was in the form. Would love to have you on our podcast. It'd be this. Look at this. Look how short it is compared to the emails that you send. Look, like it sounds.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, we need to blur out an email that you send, but show the length.
Pop it on.
I feel like there's almost a bit of a. And so that's basically the end. Thanks for your time, mate, Josh. You were fired up. You actually had a.
Did I reply? What did I reply?
You had an interesting signature at the end. No, the image is no longer available. Oh. Thanks for reaching out, man.
All right. 2 years ago. Yeah. This was 2 years ago. I've come a long way.
Okay. I have to say straight out, and these are dot points, I fucking love your podcast. Just listen to those two eps, and I'm diving into a couple of others too. The topics and conversations you guys have is like stepping into my own thoughts. Number two, I'm also digging your vlogs, mate. Production quality is primo, and the mix of humor and quality content is bang on.
It's pretty good feedback.
It's a really nice email.
Thanks, mate.
And so that's why we're friends.
I'm happy with that.
Okay. So the issue and the difference with that email is that you were making statements in your dot points, so they can be tight. Mm.
And so you're doing more sort of like giving
context.
Mine is context or action points, more so like the things that need to be actioned or have a response to.
Is there a format you'd prefer, JJ? Like a voicemail?
No. I think it needs to come from you, Jess. Like, what do you think? Where is my pushback relevant versus when do you think I just need to suck it up and read the emails? Or do you think I should always just read the emails?
Yeah, I think so. If we're working together, it might be good to have you across everything.
Maybe like just... So, what I was doing, I was saying like last night I sent Jess a long email.
Oh, so you replied with a long
email. Yeah, and so I
thought his email was long. And
so what I did was
funny.
I put a
lot
bold,
of tension in this
so
room.
I put some bold text. I was like, basically, the main point is
in bold.
This.
The TLDR.
Yeah,
did you ever do a TLDR?
Yeah, TLDR. I think TLDRs could be a standard thing.
You could do that at the top of the email, TLDR.
But then you got upset because I said that I thought potentially you were the person in school that would copy and paste slabs of text on a PowerPoint and then read it out.
Mm-hmm.
And you pride yourself on
having really
good
top line slides.
Mm-hmm. Like PowerPoint. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You've come in with a couple of pretty personal.
Maybe I was too aggressive.
Yeah.
But I think it was just the.
Feels like a solid realization.
Yeah. And so I'm sorry about that.
Like, I just thought it was funny that he literally had to summarize what he just outlined, and I'm okay with reading an email, but then he bolded it as well. But it was in a weird position in the email as well because you dot pointed.
Yeah.
But without dot points, which I don't like.
Well, it was just like I sent a slab of text because I'm like, you know what? I'm responding the way. Like, it's like when you're playing basketball.
I respond.
You're only as good as the opponent. So I was just responding. I'm like, look, here are all these ideas. I think part of it is it's the creative process. I actually asked Bree, I said, can you read this? Does this make sense? And she asked me a question about it. So I blew up at her because I'm like, how do you not understand this? It's a very basic thing that I'm saying. But I don't know what the deal, like, what should we be slacking more?
I think internally, let's slack.
Mm-hmm.
And then for client emails, I'll try and be a little bit.
I actually think that's good. I think that the text is good, but I just think that there could be a way for us to internally. Like, I do know that Tony Robbins, not saying I'm Tony Robbins, but Tony Robbins records audio messages.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I couldn't do that. I don't like that because you don't have it in writing and then you can't go back to it.
Yeah, it's hard to like save.
Jen and I do that to each other. I think there's something in getting clear in how each of you likes to be communicated to because it doesn't have to be the same.
I'm always fired up when I see the emails to clients that Jess has sent. Like, I'm like, fuck it. Like, how like a professional.
Okay, so we like it.
But then I'm not necessarily reading them to the as much as what probably everyone else is.
Yeah.
And so I think that there's probably a mechanism of like long emails and then dot points somewhere.
So what are each of you going to commit to moving
forward?
Well, maybe I need to do a short summary for you after each email.
A short summary would be
soundbite.
Well, so the thing is, I just want to see if I'm like completely gaslighting you or if this is reality. Hang on. I'm just typing in your name. I just want to see like how long these emails are or whether I do you think you do long emails?
But I don't. No. Yeah.
I feel like there was even one like two. The Daily Talk Show, like we were doing sort of a next steps. This was like questionnaire.
That was one of my first emails.
The questionnaire. Is that from me? Hang on, I know this is quite boring. Yeah, so there's a lot going on. But no, I agree. I think that I just need to get better. I think maybe I need to use my laptop. It looks a lot on a phone.
Yeah.
So maybe I need sort of the big screen to be able to see all the text.
And it also could be because I'm not in the office as much that I just brain dump everything and then.
Yeah. I actually, so one thing that I did do was I downloaded an app that reads things to me.
Oh.
And I was.
This is another issue I have here.
What is it?
All of the tech that you had to bring me across.
It's great.
I'm just a Google spreadsheet.
Yeah,
I had it, and I was thinking then, I was like, I can't have another tab open on my computer.
Well, this is perfect. This will replace all those tabs.
No,
but the
I like my system.
And so there is something in that. I was doing that for a bit, which is just when you send an email, there's a software that I was using called, I'll tell you what it's called, because it's actually really good. I want to get back into it. It's in my listening section on my app. Here we go. Sorry for the delay. Or maybe I got rid of it.
It's riveting audio.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
This is a nightmare. There's an app that will basically play the text. But Jess, thank you.
No, that's okay. Thanks,
Jess.
I actually don't even know if we got to the point.
No. I feel like we got a couple of takeaways. Jess is going to potentially be mindful of doing a TLDR or a summary for you, and you're going to read emails on your laptop and maybe just cut her some slack.
I think like the thing is, Jess is way more professional than all of us.
So maybe it's a healthy tension for you to get used to.
Yeah. I think the other thing too is coming from Jess has got extensive experience in PR and there's a lot of great stuff to come out of PR. But also I think like PR as a brand value, there's a lot going on sometimes.
All right.
Like
so
if you think about like a press release.
It's like the same room, the same experience, but everyone's having the different response.
Well, how do you feel about it?
Never thought that our emails are too long.
Wow.
Ever. I thought they're detailed as in like efficient. I'm like, wow, impressive.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand. The only
thing
I relate
to to buy an email?
It's not what I'm going for. I'm just saying was response. What I do realize across every email, Jess or anybody, is the visceral response you get when you have to do work. And I think that's what you're fucking experiencing. Because I'm on Jess's side where they're not too long. They're formatted well. It's like, I'm a gronk. You should see my shit. It's like, she's professional and hitting it.
Yeah.
I think if you had a boss, they'd tell you to shut the fuck up in very polite ways and say, read your fucking emails or you're out.
But that's like,
it's a bit different when you're the boss.
Yeah, but this is
no
the,
such thing
but,
as lunch.
But surely, yeah, no lunch break.
I don't have a lunch break.
But yet. I feel like there could be, I think there's a nice, like if we want to build a culture.
But what you're, thing, what you're literally saying is, Jess, I need you to work out how you can communicate to me, as in to you. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what's happening. Because otherwise, it's like, it's fine. I'm willing to work to Jess's way because mm-hmm. she's more professional than I am and has a lot more knowledge. You want it given to you in a different way. That's what you want.
Well,
that's
I
what
think Pete that said. Like part
it's
of
like
it is
learning communication between different people. It's like, keep doing what you're doing.
Maybe Jess, part of it is scale. Maybe what I'm thinking about is like Jess's time as we, you know, like if we've got, say, 5 or 6 projects going, it's easy. But then potentially when it reaches a certain scale, if she's doing
this is the
700 to 800 words
lodging
per
too
email.
Much, too big a tax return. This is that. It's like,
yeah, when I was a kid, I was worried about a big tax bill.
So but it's the preempting of scale, which there's two versions. There's yes, shit, we need processes for when there is shitloads going on. But then there's also like the pain now of no process. There's still a pain at scale, regardless of process. There will be like, fuck, the pain's just different.
Hmm. Well, I think that Jess is good at taking notes. And then I think that what happens is those notes become emails.
If they need to be based on we need notes from the meeting.
Yeah. Yeah, the thing is, if I had to pick one, 97 does no email.
This is where
I'd prefer Jess. The thing is, when I get the emails,
the easy out when Sebs isn't in the room.
Well, no, we're just kicking him while he's in Blair Gowrie.
Just kicking him while he's down. But he's having a good time.
He's having a great time. Yeah.
But seriously, I'd much prefer. I think Jess is doing a great job, and I actually don't want her to change. I think I agree. I think I need a change. And so I'd want to get to a point where I don't have an emotional, physical response every time I get an email from Jess.
But that's a learned skill because when you get a long email from a client, I know the feeling. What's happened?
Yeah, from anyone, you're like, oh, okay, I need to be in the right head frame.
But that shouldn't be the response to any long email. But what you're saying is that is the learned skill you need is less entering into it at an emotional level and actually processing it. It's easy to say, hard to do.
I feel like I need to, it'd be good for us to get a, how do you feel about us getting a printer?
Absolutely not. I just fucking binned a $450 printer.
Why'd you do that?
I asked everyone, can I sell this? Sevs, nah, won't be able
to. Well, I think it was
should you leave it out
issue.
The front? Too much.
What do you need
a printer for?
It'd
You're
be
the
good to
tech guy, so you want all these tech things, but then you want a fucking printer.
I think it would be
how
good
does that
to,
work?
I think it'd be good to have a printer
for what?
To be able to print out those emails and then just get a pen and go through them.
All right, Tim Jacket. That's what my dad does.
As a guy,
prints off an email. Leave it to the computer and highlight in Word.
I did an internship in the Victorian government, and there was a guy that printed off every email and would file it.
My MFB, Fire Brigade, yeah. It's the same.
Don't be the boss. Fucking read your email.
I think you're overcomplicating.
Cool would it be?
Coach him out of this hole.
Oh, he already did. He coached himself out of it.
Did he?
Do you know what would be really fun? This would be a fun app. It's like a fax. You get an email, it gets printed to you. So you go to your inbox. And your inbox is just whatever's printed out of the printer.
Wait till
and
the
go
spam
through.
I send this account.
But thing is, like, I don't want to sound hypocritical.
Took a turn this episode, didn't it?
Do you think I'm being?
I had to. I had to defend Jess. I felt like she needed to sort of go hard. Did I go hard enough?
No,
Jess, did I do a good job
on me? Yeah,
I had to just because the funny thing is, I know you so well from dealing with you every day, and I know where. You're being you or you're being a fucking just silly version of you as a child and it's like...
But that's where the pushback... That's where I said, like I said to Jess, like, I think I said
but you
this.
Know,
it's
man,
like,
I push you push back hard.
But like push back. Like the thing is, I'm going to tell you how I'm feeling and if your emails make me sad, I'll tell you and then you tell me if I'm being silly.
Is that a senior management? Is that what senior management, just driven by emotion? Like, have you worked in big business? You have.
Yeah.
What happens if a senior manager does that? Someone with a...
Wouldn't they have an EA or something?
They often, yeah. They would.
Does email... Do you ever get that feeling?
I think that if I see a slab of text, sometimes I'm like...
They're not that fucking long.
Sometimes I'm like, oh, I need to process this. I haven't seen one of these emails. I'm not saying...
No, I think that...
But I think like...
It's normally reading a slab of text. Great the thing is, it happens from good operators. I think... Taver from RBK Advisory.
Have you read some of the long shit he sends? Because it has to. It's accounting.
So the thing is, and that's what's good. Like, you'll go through all of them, but I look at them like, they are so good. But I don't even
but
know.
But he doesn't go through them.
But it is a lot to take in.
Because you read one from our real estate agent, which is talking about some shit we need to be across. Mm-hmm. And you read the first line and summarized and texted me. I was convinced you read it based on your text message. And then I had to dissect it and call the real estate agent.
Well, there's a late, there definitely is a little bit of, and I understand that that could come across as not showing enough respect. Yeah. And so
it's hard when you go, like, and this is, we're not in a tiff, but you love like the statements like inbox zero and like sorting and filing. And it seems to show when it's actually around email and you got to fucking read it and you get a business development.
Do you want to be an email guy though?
Absolutely not. But I also see it as a non-negotiable.
Yeah.
You got to do it. Like, it's a part of business. Yeah. It is comms. It's talking on the phone. It's the...
Maybe I'll go the other way.
Talking on the phone.
Yeah.
I've lent into that.
I'm fucking proud of you.
Yeah, thanks, man.
I coached you by bullying you.
What sort of calls are you having?
Trace and I will speak.
Oh, really?
A couple of times. I spoke to her earlier today.
And look out, guys. That's his girlfriend.
Oh, yeah. That's the last exclusive.
Who else are you?
No, but I mean, you're just talking to your girlfriend.
Oh, yeah. That's big. I've spoken to you a few times on the phone, JJ.
Yeah. I think I call you, though.
Yeah.
No,
I wonder what's happening.
But I answered. I didn't not answer and then go, sorry, JJ, I'm busy.
I completely...
What's the other way? The other way is... No,
I'm just trying to dig us out of this hole.
All I'm going to say is I'm 100% up for playing the game. I think that it's worthwhile. I think that the email stuff is very good. I think that is communication.
Yeah. We just got to, when you got Sebs around, we need it. Like, you can't be telling him to do 30 emails a day if you're not willing to read your email based on being too long.
That's fair.
Like, I think we need to. I've never thought about that.
Never ask someone to do something that you're not willing to do yourself.
Which, really? It's not to say that
Fuck. That's all I ever do. Isn't that the point? I thought that was the point of having a team. You share the shit.
Yeah, but you share the things that you've done at some point.
One of the best person on email, Seth Godin.
Yeah, he writes back. He's good.
But he reads as well.
Mm-hmm. No, actually, it would be good because I think I've spoken about this before. When I see an email, I start to skim because I don't want it to enter my soul.
He doesn't want to be triggered.
I get it. Yeah, it's fine. But I think that is something I would like to get better at.
Do you need a time box when you read email? Is it like were you in a certain headspace when this email came through?
I'm good at it. Like, after a wine,
yeah,
I'm good because it gets very easy to write back.
I do too.
Yeah.
But you can't be drinking fucking wine every single day just to do emails.
But you could do like an 8 p.m. one wine. Email.
If you want.
But I think there's the recognition.
Look, there's healthier versions.
You're in a certain headspace at different times in the day. If you recognize that you need to be in a certain headspace to process email, I could actually become an email.
I think smart. That
it's the romanticism, which I as soon as it comes up, I see it as a warning sign.
Mm.
Right time of day, like when I'm going to be creative, it needs to land here. It's like, I know I've said the stars aligning for you stuff, Josh.
Yeah, it's got to be perfect temperature.
And so, let's just deconstruct wine and emails.
Mm-hmm.
Great combo. They seem great when you're a bit sort of feeling a bit fruity.
A bit fruity. Mm-hmm.
Because then you're like, so what happens? The fucked up bit is you've ingested a chemical that has given you a visceral response.
Yeah, I can only write back to email when I'm high.
And you're feeling good about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a dangerous combo.
I think that I want to actually go the other way. I want to be really good because the other thing too is I think it comes down to procrastination. I reckon all of this is procrastination for me because it's saying.
Totally.
You definitely have it's in the last sort of week. But I actually know you. I'm like, are you good? Like I just, because I don't push too hard when I know. Because, mate, you've smashed email before. You've been on top of it, business development.
I batch things.
You wrote me that pretty long email.
You're not a guy that doesn't do anything. Yeah. You're a guy that fucking can be a powerhouse if you want to. And so it's just about how do you get to a place where, regardless of mood or anything, it's like
a standard. And if people are listening, Jess is great. I think that people would listen and be
Is that the point of this?
Well, mate, we don't know.
At this point. If they lasted analytics, through that. Yeah, true. They lasted through that debacle.
Nah, that's good.
No, I'm supportive of everyone. I think everyone's doing a great job. Yeah. And we're all doing our best.
Everyone's doing their best.
You know, we do year in reviews on the show.
So, end of financial year's coming.
How long until we start doing 360 reviews?
On the show.
No, on the show would be fun.
That would be outrageous.
I've never been a part of anything like a 360 review or a review internal. What do you...
So you get
I want to hear it from Pete.
Okay. Have you ever done a 360?
I've done anything of that nature.
Yeah, I've done in the corporate world they do it, that they send out the survey and they say it's anonymous. But what's tricky is when you're in a team of like four people or three people and you're asked to review the manager, it becomes pretty obvious whose responses are whose. I've done them. We used to get emails saying you've had contact with the following people in the business. So, can you answer these questions about them? And they'll receive an anonymized report about basically giving them feedback.
Oh, so, you get it personally.
Oh, and I've seen it like people get torn apart and like have very, very visceral reactions to it. And like, I can't believe someone said this about me. I can't believe I'm not showing up.
Yeah, it's
not
fucking generous. Crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, you're like, oh, that was me that said that. it's pretty full on. Pretty full on.
I wonder how beneficial it is. The thing is, Kevin Rose, who founded Dig, he's been a guy that's, I think, like a little bit like me in regards to very like fleeting, like just from an external perspective, he sort of has that shiny object syndrome where he goes over to a bunch of things. But I think that he can sometimes drop the ball in regards to communicating what I've seen externally. Anyway, he talked on a podcast about doing the 360 stuff, but it was a coach. He wasn't working for any company at the time. He's a investor at True Ventures, I think. But anyway, he got a bunch of people he knew, just friends and stuff, to all be interviewed by this person who was doing, I guess it's like 180 feedback. It's like just feedback on him.
I think it's a cool idea.
He got absolutely slammed. Yeah. It was like a real eye opener.
Yeah, I think there's a certain level of trust that one needs to be able to process feedback in an effective way. So, if you don't like your manager, then that's probably going to come through in the feedback and it's probably not going to be well received. I think if you have a relationship that is built on trust, I think in many ways that you shouldn't get surprises. You should probably receive feedback and be like, I had a feeling. I knew that was kind of a blind spot of mine and now it's been called out. I don't feel great about it, but there's no surprises. Like I think in performance reviews, for example, which most companies do every 6 or 12 months, you shouldn't really like have this moment of a manager telling you something and you're like, where the hell did that come from? It should be that you're talking every day or every week, giving feedback to one another. So when it comes to formalizing it, you're like, oh yeah, this is just a build on the things that we've been talking about.
Yeah. I think, there's definitely something in doing things more regularly.
Totally.
So then there's no surprise at the pulse end, like, rather than doing,
they call them pulse checks in the
quickly on the pulse check. So you've got a Whoop.
I do. Yeah.
Have you seen that they're now using Whoops to determine whether you have COVID?
Yeah, yeah. They've updated the software. So they track your respiratory rate, and if you get a significant spike, I believe, or a drop maybe in your respiratory rate, it could be a symptom that you're developing COVID.
Sev's got Crohn's disease.
Well, so there's even the NBA are using the. I think one of the teams is using the Aura Ring.
Oh yeah,
as a way of determining. So it's like all those things you mentioned.
I think the respiratory rate in particular is the one they're tracking.
So what does respiratory rate mean?
I would have to double check, but it's like the amount of breathing breaths per minute.
Rhythm,
I think
it's
the amount of breaths per minute. I think is what it is. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's not your heart rate, respiratory rate.
Mm. So I think mine's
flow of air coming in and out.
If it's between 12 and 18 ish, I think is like standard. I read about it on the Whoop website, and it's like if you go beyond that, then that could be a sign.
So going beyond that, like when I've had bad asthma, shallow breathing, it's like
you can't get enough oxygen.
Yeah.
Fuck, I would like to get a Whoop for that reason. What do you pay?
You pay a monthly subscription fee, so it's free. The hardware is free, and then you pay like software as a service for it, I think $15-$20 a month or something.
So it works out to be what, about $200 a year?
Pretty reasonable, yeah. And you can I paid 6 months up front, so you can just kind of pay it up front.
Is there a login? Login for like an online portal where you're seeing all stats?
Yeah, there's an app that you fire up and it gives you, desktop? This data. And, yeah, it's got desktop.
You can put it under your biscuit.
Totally. You can get it on
top
your biscuit.
Top line, daily, check it out every
day. We should get them. What, the another charging, plug for biscuit. The charging situ?
Yeah, so there's a case that you just like slide on top so you don't have to take it off, so you still get all of the...
So you charge a battery, you have a battery, and then you put the battery on and it charges it again.
Pretty cool, yeah. Yeah.
And so you wear it when you sleep.
Yeah.
How's your sleep been?
Great, yeah. I've got
noticed a difference sleep data. Since getting a girlfriend in regards to sleep?
Probably a bit more relaxed and calm and happy, I guess. So like your lower heart rate, which means you're also getting deeper sleep. So I would say yes in that sense.
Interesting.
Also, you know, you're staying... Especially with isolation and everything, it's not like you're going out and partying and drinking, which very much improves your sleep, which improves all of your data and your health metrics that you get feedback on.
Mm. Nice one.
All right.
Anyway, Whoop.
A lot of things to fix.
No, biscuit.
Biscuit, Whoop.
And emails.
Yeah. Jess, team member of the month. Yeah,
doing a great job. We should start doing that.
Employee of the month.
Yeah, win yourself a little JB Hi-Fi voucher.
Definitely. Spinning the wheel.
You get a car park.
Oh, yeah.
Priority spot.
With your name on it.
Yeah.
I mean, Jess famously, I remember for one of the first days I ever met Jess and I went into the garage. So, fucking smells like shit in the garage. And then I was like, oh, hey Jess. And then I didn't connect all the things. And then it turns out that she'd been driving in the country just through manure. And she'd basically brought it into the office.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Have you had much experience, Jess, in reputation management? Crisis comms? Because Josh is fucking painting the floor with you. It's disgusting, really.
Anything else you want
to
just
send her a fucking long email apologising, please?
Any more dirty laundry
JJ? It's not her shit. She can't help it, but it's a... It's an observation.
Jess and I were driving before. This is not a story about Jess. We were just together in the car and I looked over and I saw a woman bending over. I was like, oh my God, Jess, look. And we got a bit closer. She stood up, pulled her pants back up, bent back over, shat on the concrete.
No way. Oh, no.
And we saw it. Oh my God. And Jess said, butter chicken.
Where was this? What does butter chicken mean?
That's what it looked like. It looked like...
Oh,
that's outrageous.
My God, we live in a weird world.
Was it on Victoria Street?
Yes.
Okay.
Lennox, Victoria. Oh, dude. Yeah, sorry if that was sickening, but it was fucking... Whatever you're feeling...
Did you drive over it,
20 times worth seeing it.
Moving to Elwood is the greatest decision I made. I do not miss any of that.
Oh, he's a toffee motherfucker, isn't he?
Bayside. Come down Bayside, boys. Yeah.
Mate, I grew up... where you live.
There's a lot going on. Yeah. All right. It's a daily talk show. Thank you, Pete, for coming on the podcast. The long and the short of it is his podcast.
Great one.
It's got an episode on, what is it, the future? Future you?
Future self.
The future self. Anyway, check it out. It's a daily talk show. See you tomorrow, guys. Have a good one.
See you, team.
See you, guys.